The Kriyas HaTorah was intended as a learning experience for Haraya Lekach. You know, sometimes now we think that the Kriyas HaTorah takes a long time. The Bakarik fetches, Ain, the Mishaberach Salong. Forget about it. It's all garnished. In the time, back in the time of Chachmei Ashas, and for probably 1,000 years, close to that, after Chachmei Ashas, they had the Metargim. Each Pasuk, the Bakriya read a Pasuk, and he stopped. And then the Metargim got up, and he rendered the Pasuk into Aramaic, into Targum. He said the Targum. The Bakriya read another Pasuk. The Metargim translated again. And that's the, with us, they went Pasuk by Pasuk through the entire parsha. So probably the Kriyas HaTorah had to take at least twice as long as it takes now.
Unless they were on the triennial cycle, then they could...
But there was definitely, it outlived the triennial cycle. There wasn't the only... I was thinking Eretz Yisrael wasn't too bad, but...
Do they do Targum in Eretz Yisrael?
Could be. We don't know.
Not enough.
With the Tanoim lived, yeah. Listen, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua were in Eretz Yisrael. But Uncle Sagir Omroi, right? That's just before the Churban, around the era of the Churban HaMikdash. And M.P. Rebbe Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, the Gemara again. So that was an Eretz Yisrael.
The Taimonim still do it.
Because maybe they...
Maybe they...
Yeah,
a few times.
Yeah, okay. Oh, listen.
It takes much longer. Every single Pasuk, there's two people there. One is the Balkaria.
One's the Batara.
And the Ayla. There's another person on the side with a Chumash. After every Pasuk... So a third person says the
Targum, yeah.
And Pasuk, it goes Pasuk by Pasuk. And the first 10 minutes is very interesting, but after like a while, it starts taking a long time. I saw it a few times, right?
So you have, in fact, there's a little vestige of it that's recalled each year on Shavuos. It's known that when was Akdamas normally said? Akdamas was normally said classically in the Shulchan Aruch. They called the Kohen. The Kohen made the brachas. They read the first Pasuk. And after the first Pasuk, that's when they did Akdamas. Then we find the Achrayim came along and they said, no, there's a Hefsik and Kriyas HaTorah. We can't do this anymore. And they moved the Akdamas to before. So the reason for this, Shnei Lyman came up with it, and I think he's on the mark, the Shnei Lyman's insight. The Akdamas is the Hakdama, is the preface of the Metargim. And he had a special preface, L'chvoid Shavuos, for Matan Torah on Shavuos. So he had a whole essay about the Torah. And that's the Akdamas. So when they recited the Targum, so there was a preface to the Targum too. There's a chelik of doing the Targum. But the Achronim came along and said, listen, if we stop doing the Targum a whole year, and there's no Targum, so why are we being mafsik? Why should we have the Akdamas anymore afterwards? So now we call up the Kohen. It's sort of a vestige of what they used to do. But we do the Akdamas right before we start the learning because there's no Targum anymore. But that was the Hakdama to the Targum. Now we do have it. The minhag remained in the Haftarah for Shavuos, the second day Shavuos. There we read Tvilola Chavakukan Ovi Al Shig Yenois. And then we have Yitzif Pisgam. Now Yitzif Pisgam is again the same thing. That's the introduction of the Metargum to the Targum of the Nevi'im.
And there was Targum of the
Nevi'im
also.
Yenis and Menuzils, whatever. Was.
And I'm saying, you know, when they...
It looks like that those places, they had Targum and the Nevi'im too. But that's what... That's my estimation. I can't blame that on Shneya. My estimation is that was the Hagdom of the Metargum. And that remained. And there, I guess they weren't so makbir and hefsik, but after and Mamela, they didn't push it to before after.
But every Kriya had an Akdamah?
And that's what it talks about Yonison. It means it's Yonison and Benazil. What?
Did every Kriya have an Akdamah?
No, they probably for special occasions they made a Hakdamah, like Shavuos. So for Shavuos, they kept a little vestige of the Tirgum to talk about Zachor Yemaisalim, the way it was classically, you know, that there was Tirgum. So, we see a little vestige, a little reverberations of the minhag in our practice. So, but the point, what was the point? Why did it fade out? Because the people no longer had facility in Aramaic. If we think they don't understand the Lashon Kodesh, now imagine we'll send the guy up to do the Targum now. in shul after each pasuk. I mean, that's certainly going to accomplish a lot. I mentioned before that apparently in Turkey, people told me it's in Kurdistan, that in Kurdistan, Aramaic is a spoken language. There was a woman in yeshiva, Tzara Mizrahi, she was the cook in yeshiva, a very fine and edel woman. And her parents' mother tongue was Aramaic. They came from Turkey, and their mother tongue was Aramaic. And I remember of Kanarik, or Shiva and Eretz Yisrael, he went once down to the kitchen, I was there when he came, and he went to ask her a very difficult word in the Gemara. He wanted to know if she is a native speaker. I don't remember what the answer was. I don't remember the word nor the answer. But he went to ask her what it means. Because she's a native speaker of Aramaic. It's her mother tongue. So Chazal intended, with the Kriyas and Torah, that we should learn the entire Torah. That is in a barabim, on a communal basis. Chazal also wanted that each and every one of us should have facility in the Mikra. And for that, they instituted Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. The person should be Olam Yashlam Odom Pashi Yosef Imatziv Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. So we should go through the Psukim twice in Targum, which is the Pshat. In the Psukim, it's the Pshat of the Maseiros of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua of the Tanoim. And there are places the Shas disagrees with the Targum, because there are other Tanoim that disagree with them. It's Machlokes Tanoim. But this is the Maseiros. It goes all the way back to Har Sinai. So Besayrador Achador, through Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. And the Gemara says there was Targum and whatever, maybe for similar reasons that it wasn't so much the language in Eretz Yisrael, but it lapsed to a large extent. It sort of fell out of use. And Uncle Isager reintroduced it from Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua into common use, that usage. That's what seems to the Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. So we were intended to understand it. And I just saw the other day a very interesting thing. Someone, it's Isaac and Balichubis and Archie, brought me a sefer that he wrote. And he mentions a conversation he had with Rav Don Segel. And Rav Don Segel told him that he was speaking with Rav Mendel Zaks, the Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. And Rav Mendel Zaks said he once asked the Chofetz Chaim, what do you have to do to be a gadol b'Torah? So the Chofetz Chaim said the following, very interesting. He said, you have to sleep 8 hours a night. They were very makbid about it. I know when I lived in the Rav Shuva's house, so there was a time that Rav Trub Zatzal was an Alman, his father-in-law, and he used to stay there. He had been a Rav Shuva in Radin before the war. And we used to come back 11:30 at night from yeshiva. And he was already sort of turning over, got out of bed already, you know, a little bit before he went back to bed. And he looked askance that we're coming home too late. He said, "Lozu aderech." So this was the Chofetz Chaim's derech. He said, "You have to sleep 8 hours a night, eat 3 meals a day, daven like a mensch, not hurried, exercise every day." His exercise was to go walking through the field, but exercise every day. Do chesed for your chaverim, and the rest of the time that you'd have, you should learn shas apayskim. He said, "And there's enough time to become a gadol b'Torah." But, so what did he say in the learning? In the learning, he said three things. You should learn Tanakh. You should learn the Sifrei Musar HaMufursamim, the famous Musar Sorna, Chovas HaLevavos, Mesilas HaSharim, etc., the renowned Musar Sorna. And then the rest of the time, Shas and Paiskim. But the first thing he said, you have to learn Tanakh. When he started to learn Sugya, he started from the Psukim. And then he did the Medrash HaZal, Halachat Medrashim, on the Pasuk, and then he went to the Gemara, the Chofetz Chaim. That's the way he learned. He started Mamish from the beginning. So, Chazal wanted us to know the Pesukim. And Nach is long forgotten. Forget about Nach. I mean, today, the Pesukim in the Torah are a Chiddush. I mentioned many times, I lived in Canarsie, so on one side of my house was the Shul HaRosh Shlomo Zalman, Olav HaShalom. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. In his later years, he retired from the Rabbanus, and he was a Ram in Yeshiva University in Ritz. Tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. So when he used to say Shirin Shabbos to the Balabatim, sometimes he'd fumble with a pasuk. So he looked to one Yid. There was one Yid there, a European man, and he'd look to him, and this person, he could rattle off anything in Tanakh, like you and I could say Asher Yeshua Vesecha. That's, you just started him off in something in Tanakh, what you wanted, and he just rolled. The whole Tanakh was like this on his fingertips. So Chazal wanted us at least to know it's the Haskalah, at least is we should know Chumash. So, you know, we need to go through the parasha. Now the question is, what I told my Talmidim always, I learned, life taught me that in this area of Halach, I'm a minimalist. I know all the Chumras, at least many, many of the Chumras. I don't know if I've heard all the Chumras yet. Maybe somebody will come and tell me a Chumra that I don't know. But one thing I did discover, in this Avidui of Rav Natroni Goyen that's printed in some Machzorim for Yom Kippur, that was to be said on Erev Yom Kippur. And the Chazon Ish dwelled on this, and he said, it says two things. One thing it says, among the other things, but among the things that it says is, he tatiyasa also. So we understand, okay, a person, the Rabbanu Shalom said, I'm not supposed to do something, and I decided, I made some psak that it's mutter. Okay, I understand, I have to clap al chait for that. But then it also says, osartiyasa mutter. I was oyser of that which is mutter. So he says, what do you have to clap al chait for, the Chazon Ish said? You know, I found that there was one chocolate bar, it happened to be kosher. I thought it was treif, so I didn't eat it. So I have to clap al chait on Yom Kippur. It was, what do you want? What do we want there? So the Chazon Ish said this in connection. The Chazon Ish was the one who instituted the observance of Shemitah and Eretz Yisrael. He was the one, the big force that started it off. And there was a kibbutz that had certain difficulties, and he gave them a heter to do certain things during Shavuos. And there were those that came to disagree with him, and he let loose with all barrels that it's mutter, and it's... So he said in that connection, he said, sometimes there are details of a halacha that there is a basis in the halacha to be meikel, there's a basis to be machmer. And sometimes what happens, we insist on being machmer, not being meikel. And because of that, because we're machmer in this particular detail, we make it impossible to keep the halacha altogether. So in fact, the chumra ultimately comes out to be a huge kula because it destroyed the observance of a mitzvah. Whereas if I'd taken a legitimate tzad heter, I would have been able to fulfill the mitzvah. So he says, when I do that, the Chazon Ish says, I have to clap al chait for asarti asamuta. So, but I discovered in Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum, yeah, I could do all the chumras. But if we'll do all the chumras in Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum, after a month, there won't be anyone here doing the Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum. It's just, practically, will become too daunting. With the time pressures that exist, and the difficulty of finding time to do it. So if I institute all the chumras, I can guarantee you that the echad men from one of a thousand, one in a thousand, one in a hundred will succeed. The rest will fail. So we need to define a mahalach that's going to work. You know, and if we define a mahalach that could work, then we can succeed. So, you know, the first thing that I came to, the first epiphany that I had, really in Shnayim Mikrovecha Targum, initially, I used to follow the most stringent view, which is I did two times the Mikra, and then the third time I did the Targum. Now, this became a very onerous problem. Why? Because I like to do one time the Mikra to read along with the Bakriya. So if I didn't do the Targum until after that, so I have a very narrow window in which to do the Targum. Because by the time the Zman Mincha comes on Shabbos, he's supposed to be finished. Well, the Suda Shabbos also takes place after davening. So where is this going to fit in? So it became a very onerous problem. So then I made the discovery, and the Chofetz Chaim signs off on it as acceptable, or Aruch HaShulchan is even more strongly states that it's acceptable. And you could do Mikra, Targum, Mikra. And it happens to me it's a very sensible proposition. I like the idea very much. It makes a lot of sense to me. Why? Because I do the Psukim, then I do a Perish in the Psukim, and once I have a Pshat in the Psukim, then I review the Psukim again with the Perish. So that's a very, very beautiful and sensible mahalach. Now, so I switched to this mahalach. I was doing it before, but it was very difficult. I switched to this Mahala. So with this approach, I have a goal every week. My goal is that between Shabbos afternoon and the next Shabbos morning, that I'll do the Parsha once, the Mikra, and once the Targum. We'll come back to which Targum to do, what Targum to do. But that's my goal. So today we're at Tuesday. The Mikra, I finished already, once the Mikra. I didn't do the Targum, so I don't do it simultaneously. It would be better if I did, but again, I have to do it in a way which is going to work. So I did the Mikra on the entire Parsha already. That's done. So little by little, like Be'ez Hashem, during the week, I'll go through the Targum. And hopefully by Shabbos morning, I'll have finished the Targum. And then when I read along with the Balkriya, I'll be finished. And it's a Mahalach that's worked very, very well. Yeah, people ask me, there's a lot of things. You're not supposed to be mafsik in the middle of Shnei Mikra. So I agree, you're not supposed to be mafsik. But if I'm going to insist upon that, I'm not going to get it done. Because I have to grab what I can when I can. It's just not, life is not so mesudah that I have 2 hours to sit still and just do Shnei Mikra Vecha Targum. Life is not so simple. So, look, I'm not supposed to be a mafsik. I am mafsik at certain points. What could I do? Malasat. Then there's a thing up in Kabbalah that don't do, that Moshe Rabbeinu, how did he know when it was night and when it was day? He was in the heavens, in effect, on Har Sinai. He was removed from the celestial spheres. And he did not see the sun, he didn't see the moon. He was in the Ava Onam. So how did he know when it was day and when it was night? So it says, when the Rabbeinu Shalom taught him Mikra, it was the daytime. When he taught him Torah Shabbat Peh, that was the night times. So in the Zohar, there's an Indian that Torah Shabbat Ksav is supposed to be for the daytime and only, and Torah Shabbat Peh could be for the day or for the night, but only Torah Shabbat Peh at night. Yeah, there is such an Indian, but Lamaisa, if we're going to worry, that's very good for the people whose function, that everything goes exactly the way it's supposed to. You know, the Ruchnius is in such sync that everything just goes by clockwork, you know, 10 o'clock you're supposed to do this, 11 this, 12 this, and everything just rolls along unimpeded. You know, I'm a little bit reminded that they asked the Dubna Magid once, so for Shavuos and Leil HaShanah Rabba, the Svardim are still very keen on it, the Chassidim do it, and among the Misnagdim, we don't. There's the Tikkun Leil Shavuos. The Tikkun Leil Shavuos has selections from every parsha in the Torah. There are selections from the Vim, from Ksuvim, all types of things, from the Mishnah, whatever, all types of inyonim it has. So that's what they used. That's what they did on Leil Shavuos. The Dubna Magid used to do and does what we typically do. He used to sit and learn, take a Gemara, and he learned. So they came to him and they said, Rebbe, why are you learning? The Arizal, the Shlo, they were behind the Tikkun. So in the early Adiris, everybody did it. So why are you just learning? So the Dubna Magid, Kedarkno Bakaydesh, said, I'll answer with a moshel. So he said, I'll tell you. He said, there was a man, and he was a Shlomazel. He didn't have any parnasa at all. And he didn't have very little facility for parnasa. But he had a family, he had to support his family. So he was looking around for a business that he can go into, which would not be overly demanding in terms of the amount he had to invest, because he didn't have much to his name. So he looked for a business where the entry was into the business was easy. So he was looking around all the people in town, this city, and he sees one guy who's doing very, very well. And what does he do? He goes around, he has sample books, and he takes them around, and he shows people, you know, all the things that are sample books, and they're throwing out money at him and can't keep up with it. So he says, no, I can do this business too. So he goes and makes himself a bunch of sample books, and he also starts going around. The month ended and nobody gave him any money. So he didn't understand. He says, Yankel down the block goes, they can't throw money at him fast enough. And I go around, then I have nice samples, no worse than Yankel's, and nobody gives me a penny. So some guy told him, Shaita was the best. He says, do you think that they give Yankel money because he has samples? Yankel has 5 warehouses of textiles standing behind those samples. That's what they're paying for. You have 5 sample books, but what stands behind it? So the Dubna Magid said it's the same thing. If I learned the whole year the way I'm supposed to learn, so then I'd come on Shavuos and say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, listen, let me give you this is a sample of my Chumash, my Mishnayos, my Neviyah, my Ksuvim. It's samples. You know, I have what to show off. He says, but if I didn't learn the whole year the way I'm supposed to, I'm going to be like, yeah, now I'll go show samples. He said, I just might as well sit and learn it. That's it, you know. So we can't be so worried that, you know, the ideal time to learn Mikra is B'yoyim and not B'lai. You know, very nice. That's, you know, for a person who's really is has huge blocks of time and knows how to use his time very well and is able to lay out his day in a way and it proceeds unimpeded in that fashion, you know. That's a very, you could be mocked about such things. They say Rabbi Yosha got an off schedule 3 times in 65 years. Oh, 60 or 65 years. 3 nights he was off schedule. Every day he went to sleep at the same time. He got up at the same time. He didn't daven for Vesikin for that reason. Because Vesikin didn't fit in with his lifestyle. Because he needed things to be very, very mesudar. Vesikin jumps around. So that's not a lifestyle that he could live with, things jumping around. Things had to be shachrus. There's a time. There's a zman. And we'll daven at that. You get up now, you learn, you daven shachrus. Everything proceeds in that fashion.
Yeah, they say he's scheduled in the Shnai Mikra also. He knew which day was longer. You know, he did, I think, a year a day. He knew which.
Yeah, listen, a person like him was extremely, extremely mesudar in his time. You know, he entered the Beis Medrash the same time every day, and nobody crossed the threshold with him. His closest chaverim. You went till the threshold, he stepped in, and salon, you know, that's it. It was, you know, good. So, you know, such a person who's, you know, he was a mesudaric person like a kelima, extremely, extremely mesudar and everything. And he had tremendous, you know, his powers of concentration were unbelievable. I have a nephew who was a great-grandson of his, that a Yashin from the Zaydi. Very smart also, my nephew. But his Zaydi's powers of concentration he has. He could sit and learn like for 10 hours straight without blinking an eyelash, you know. His power of concentration is awesome. Awesome power of concentration. So, you know, we can't worry. Mikra's not the best thing to do at night. And therefore what? So therefore I shouldn't learn Mikra at all if that's the only time I have to do. I shouldn't be mafsik, you know.
How yeah. Let's say this expression, you can't finish it
before,
especially now in the winters, you finish it
in the warm winter. Yes, I'll tell you. There are 3 shitas when it comes to this subject. The lechatchila is to finish before the zman mincha. There's a b'diyeved that you can finish till Tuesday night. Like Avdolah, you can make till Tuesday night. You can finish the parsha. That's also a matziva. And then there's b'diyeved shita that says you can finish all the way until Simchas Torah.
So taking the middle shita of b'diyeved Tuesday.
Yeah, listen.
It's better to do it much a Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, but straight 2 times mikra done time. If you could, without hefsekim, without anything.
No, if you could finish Shabbos, I would finish Shabbos even with the hefsekim.
That's what I would believe.
Yes, that's what I would do. If you asked me, that's
still,
what I would do.
So it's still yaitze if you finish
by Tuesday. Yaitze, yes. Yaitze. That's it. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a day in Achrayim Yaitze. That's all. We can't. I told you. In this halacha, I'm an absolute minimalist. My bottom line is: does it work for you? Do you get it done? That's all. I don't want to know anything else. The point of the shailas, and this is really the daunting problem a little bit, is what to do for targum. So this is already the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis Yosef struggled with this. So on one end, the Beis Yosef was partial to targum because targum has a Maseres from Sinai, from the Tanoim. But on the other hand, we don't get as much out of Targum as what perhaps we get from Rashi. So maybe we're better off doing Rashi. Rashi is basically come out on every Pasuk, and the Chayim say, if you do it with Rashi, and he skips a Pasuk, he sees that Pasuk a third time. So there is a smach to do it with Perush Rashi. That Rashi brings Chazal as the Perushim of Chazal and the Mikram. So the Beis Yosef, it's in Kedarka Bakhoidish of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef says basically a Yorei Shemaim should do both, you know. You know, you should do the Targum and do Rashi. You know, that's, you know, Matovim Anoim, if a person has the chance, listen, I'm also in favor. But the problem is, and as I said at the beginning, why did the Targum lapse? Because we don't have much facility in Targum. So most people, if they do the Targum, they don't get much out of it. So because of that, now there is in the Mishnah Berurah, different Sforim have different fates. You know, people write a Sefer, and nobody ever knows what happens to that Sefer. Some Sefer become super popular, and the whole world learns them. Some Sforim gather dust, no one ever looks at them. Some Sforim stay hidden for centuries, and all of a sudden they pop out, and the world is enamored with them. Some Sforim became the Merosha of the women in Klal Yisrael. They balabat of it on those Sforim. So Menorah Samor, for example, became the woman's Musa Sefer in history. That a Menorah Samor is a Rishon, and he has many original Pshotim and Sugis Hashas, but the Menorah Samor became a woman's Musa Sefer. The Tenor Rana became the Marosh of women. It was a Sefer in Yiddish, which gathered many Midrashim on each week's Parsha, and he got the basic spiel of the Parsha, you know, with the Midrashim and the Tenor Rana. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, it could be Yitzhak the Targum with Tenor Rana. So I had a Shiloh, and I wanted it to for my Talmidim, and that is the Art Scroll English is written up in Chazal. So it could be Yitzhak with the Art Scroll English. So I asked, I'm friendly with one of the grandsons of Rav Scheinberg, I asked him to Rav Scheinberg Zatzal. Scheinberg said, Yitzhak with it. So that's when I'm Matziah to my Talmidim, at least the first 2 years that you're doing it. Do it with the Art Scroll English. You know, if you have time to do the Rashi, Matovim Anon. But certainly, if you don't have, at least do it with the Art Scroll English. So you'll basically know we have the two couple of rounds what it says in the Torah. What does it say in the Torah?
You know, the stone, the blue
one? Apparently, all of them. I was Mavar, all of them are written up Pipei Rushi Chazal.
They're all exactly the same.
Yeah, but they're all written up Pipei Rushi Chazal. I wasn't sure initially, but I made further inquiries about it. So, two reasons that I told my Talmudim. The first two times around, do it with the Art Scroll English. So you'll know what the Torah says. He said, after that, start to expand. You want to expand a little into Rashi. Now, the Targum is also worth expanding into for two reasons. It's sort of cyclical. The truth is the more we understand the words in the Targum, the better facility we have to learn the Gemara. We understand the Gemara better. And it's interesting, Rabbi Kiveiger, many places in Shas, when there's a difficult word in the Gemara, Rabbi Kiveiger points to a targum, that's a targum of a certain word in the Mikra. So he's sort of going backwards in the opposite direction, going from the targum to the Lashon Kodesh, Rabbi Kiveiger. In the opposite direction that we're going from Torah to targum, he's going from targum to Lashon Kodesh. So the targum illuminates the Gemara, and the truth is, as we get more facility in the targum, we understand the psukim and aspects of the chidushim in the targum. And now, especially, I discovered, I don't know where it, if it's here, it must be here, I presume. I discovered a Chumash in Eretz Yisrael. It's a basic Chumash for a Beis HaKnesses. It's not like some highfalutin type of Chumash. It's a basic Chumash for a Beis HaKnesses, and it has a Perush on the Targum. On all the hard words on the Targum, it has a number. And underneath the Targum, or on the bottom of the page, it gives you a Pshat and Lashon Kodesh of what the Targum is saying at that point, all the hard places in the Targum. Straight ahead. So this is just phenomenal because, you know, a person that learns is a pretty good idea, let's say 80-90% of the Targum. When you get stuck at a hard word, you have a perish on the bottom which fills you in. It's phenomenal. I haven't seen it here in the United States. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I think in the summertime when I was davening in Chofetz Chaim, and one of the chumashim that I picked up for Shabbos to listen to the Kriyas HaTorah, it had it. It was unbelievable. So that is, I think, is a practical means. You know, and then over time, expand a little into the Targum and check carefully the Targum words against the Chumash words. And little by little, one learns the language of the Targum too, which is, as I said, is very, very helpful for understanding the Bikra. Now, when do we have to start the Parsha? When do we have so different things? The end line we defined. We gave three end lines. Sukkos, I go around among B'nai Torah, Sukkos time. So they're all there with a chumash, and they're racing to finish the parashiyos that they haven't done yet, you know? When's the start time for Shnayim Mikra? So this is L'Oilom Yashlem Odom Parashiyos of Imatziva. The answer is Imatziva. Whenever the tzibur starts laying, that's the beginning of Shnayim Mikra. Now you can have, for example, you can have Parsha Shmini is read the first time on Shabbos, can be 3 weeks. It's other parshas too. Shmini is one of the most famous for it. But if Pesach, the first day of Pesach occurs on Shabbos, so the Shabbos before you have a Parsha, which is an irregular maybe Shmini, and then you 2 weeks you have Yontif Kriyas, and you just read a Shabbos Mincha, and finally the 3rd week later, you actually read a Shabbos morning. But from the time of that Shabbos afternoon, of Shabbos HaGadol, That's the tzibur began the to read Pash, the Pasha, let's say Pasha Shmini, the Pasha which they're going to read first day after Pesach at the Beis HaKnesses. So one could do the Shnayim Mikra any point at time at that point, you know, after that begins.
You know, that week's not really Pasha Shmini.
You started to read, that's it. Now, I all long ago, many times told many, many people that what they think is the Pshat is not the Pshat. There's a whole slew of achrayim when you to do with Zayis HaBrocha, do it on a Shana Rabba, do it the night of Simchas Torah, and Ma'isis. So you'll find all types of people writing, no, you can't do Shnai Mikra until then. And I told everyone from the beginning, B'mechila, L'hoye V'lai Nivra, Sinish T'Pshat. In Matzibur, the afternoon when you read Parsha Sazino, you started with Zayis HaBrocha, goodbye. That's in Matzibur. All of these achrayim are dealing with a different issue. And the issue is, there are some of the minhag to do it Erev Shabbos, some of the minhag to do it Leil Shabbos. So according to those minhagim, when are you supposed to do it? That's what they're defining. And then I found that Rav Mordechai Gross Shlita, the major Adam Godel in Bnei Brak, so he asked this to Rav Yoshev, and that's exactly what Rav Yoshev told him. So now, Parshas Bereishis is sometimes the most difficult. Now, my cheshbon is that in Parshas Bereishis that one could do from Simchas Torah in the morning. Because any time after daybreak there, you could read Parshas Bereishis B'tzibur. And the minhag is to read it B'tzibur on that day. So certainly, we started on that particular day reading Bereishis. So one could do Bereishis on Simchas Torah in the morning. The only problem is, and what happens if you have a Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Yom Tov, so then Simchas Torah is Erev Shabbos, so then you have a daunting challenge to get Parshas Bereishis done. Because you have in the midst of Simchas Torah is your first chance in the day to get rolling with Parshas Bereishis. And that Simchas Torah tends to be a pretty busy day. And all of a sudden, then you're getting ready for Shabbos, and boom, you're up to Shabbos, and you barely started the Parsha. And it's a long Parsha too, Bereishis. So that could be daunting.
When the latest you can read is also
what do we do? Is it?
Once they landed in shul,
that's it. That's finished.
It doesn't have to be in your shul, or
oh, no, until shkia. That's in matzibur. Doesn't have to be follow your shul.
So in theory, in Zimbos Torah, you could do Bereishis followed by those of Racha.
You could. Yeah, you could. They're both relevant on that day. Because it's a bracha, I usually do, I don't have time usually before, I usually do Simchas Torah in the morning. You know, when I'm in shul, it's easy enough to do, it's a short parsha. So parshas Bereishis could sometimes be, you know, what's difficult, more difficult than other parshas. But this also is very interesting. Chazal say that a person that's Isaac and does Yash Mashlim Parsha Yosef Matzibur is Marichim Lo Yomim Mishnoisav. Yizoychat Arichas Yomim. Now this is a bracha we should take very, very literally. It's not, you know, a guzma. I mentioned, I believe, before that when Rabbi Yosef Tzatzal, 10 years before he was Nifter, he had an aneurysm in his heart. And his life hung by a thread until the doctor came from America and performed a miraculous operation and saved his life. So he woke up, he conked out right at the beginning of Shabbos. He woke up Shabbos afternoon. He was in bed in Hadassah Hospital. Kitzah Advarim, he woke up. So he asked, I think his grandchild that was with him, to bring him a chumash. I think Parshas Nitzavim was the coming week. So he became very alarmed because Zayda or whatever didn't do the Parsha. He did most of the parsha on Friday, whatever. I don't know exactly the cheshbon, but on Shabbos he does not his day for doing the parsha. So he was alarmed. He thought that maybe it means that he's really despondent that he's going to die, and he wants to make sure he gets the mitzvah in before he dies. So somehow we got into the conversation with him. So Rabbi Yosef told him his reason. He said, "I'm in critical condition." He understood what his situation was. So he said, "Nope." He says, so what do I need now? I need all the schusim I could have for Arichas Yom. So Chazal say the Shnai Mikra is a schus for Arichas Yom. So I want to do Shnai Mikra now because I need schusim day by day for Arichas Yom. So I heard, in fact, one of my rabbeim, Rav Hachbrok Shlita, when I learned in his shir, I hate to say how long ago, I came into his shir, it was 51 years ago. 51 years ago. A few years ago. Kitzad Rom, so I remember that he taught us that he says, the world says the Rav Inishel normally pays Mida Keneged Mida. So why is it that for Shnayim Mikra that you get a Arichas Yom? You know, you tell me you did something, you were Mesa Nefesh to save Jews and you put your life on the line, you got a Brocha Aricha. Okay, I understand. But here what do you do? Why should it be Zeichat Arichas Yom for Shnayim Mikra? So he says, the world says the Pshat is the why don't people do Shnayim Mikra? They said, who has time? We're outside. There's no time. So the Abish says, you don't have time? I'll cut you a deal. You make time, and I'll give you extra time. And the Chayr Pashtas, the Schar, is more than the time you invested into it. So that's what the Schar is, Mida Keneged Mida. That we need to find time. There's just, you made time, you gave your time away from me, I'll give you back time. Marichon Oyam U'Mishnoysev. So it's a very, very big inyan to be involved in Mikra. To understand the Mikra, it's the basis. It's the basis of all the halachas. And that's one of the things that fell by the wayside in our generation. All the learning became in to learn Gemara. And every other limud almost, you know, fell away. And the essence of Yahadus is in the Chumash. That's its essence. It's not... Yeah, it's true. Of course, we need the interpretation of the Torah Shabbat Peh. But the Yisoid, it's Chumash. That's the whole Yisoid of what we're about. And it's a forgotten limud in today's world. Mamash forgotten. Tell someone a posuk is a chiddush. Yeah, I listen, there are people that know Mikra well. I have a chaver of Yitzhak Chana, who's a menahel in Silver Spring. So he was, once upon a time, he was a menahel in Dallas. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal Makriya. So when he was menahel in Dallas, so we challenged his talmidim, and he told him, listen, you start any posuk in Chamisha Chumshe Torah, you tell me the first half, and I'll tell you the second half. So they tried, and they tried, and they tried, and they tried. They could never stump him. They told him the first half, he rattled off the second half. So one kid was a chochum. He decided, okay, he's going to get him. So what did he do? He read the second half of a pasuk. He wanted to see what he's going to do then. So he thought for a moment, and he said, there's no such a first half of a pasuk in the entire Chamisha Chumshe Torah. Doesn't exist. That's the facility that he has in Mikra and Chumash. Awesome grip on Chumash. You know, when we say the Brisker Rav, do we need to say more than that? The Brisker Rav, besides his phenomenal Chidush Machas, the Brisker Rav was renowned for his Friday night Shir and Chumash. And even during the war in Vilna, when he ran away to Vilna, one of the things that went on is every Friday night he said a Shir and Chumash, and he had the greatest Talmid HaChamim, who had run away from all over, you know, Europe to come to Vilna, that time was the haven. They used to come to Ishir, and every Friday night, the Brisker Rav said Ishir and Chumash. The Godel Hador said Ishir and Chumash. And a profound Ishir and Chumash, no less profound than the Brisker Torah and Shas. Profound. Rav Naftali Trop, the Rosh Yeshiva of Radin, was also, they say, he was a phenomenal darshan. His drush was lost to history. But Friday nights he used to darshan in the base of Knesset and Radin for Balabatim. He was a phenomenal darshan. The Gedolim of that era, they knew Chumash on their fingertips. And they were Mechadish in Chumash. Right? And the Tziv was the Rosh Yeshiva of Volozhin. Right? He left us a whole Hamek Dover on Chumash. One of the most profound Svaram and Chumash written in Deiris. There's probably not another figure between him and the Orach Chaim that I know of that wrote in Chumash in such a profound fashion. The Orach Chaim endeavored to explain almost phrase by phrase, you know, Chumash. The Netziv wrote in Chumash phrase by phrase with tremendous oimek and tremendous chidushim in Poshe Pshat in the Mikra. So Rabbi said, this is something we need. Shnayim Mikra is the basis of the Yochid, learning Mikra, knowing Mikra. See, this is something that we have to take up. The Schus of it is phenomenal. The Peiros are phenomenal too. that will come out, will know Mikra, will know Chumash. And Bameila, once one knows Chumash, the whole learning of Gemara is different too. Take that into account as we learn what it actually says in the Torah. So that's my piece. That's what I have to say. If you have any questions, feel free.
I mentioned reading along with the Baal Kriyam.
Yeah.
What if you can't keep up and you're a few seconds behind? Does that count?
So I'll tell you what to do. Let's say you fall behind. So I made a cheshbon, and my cheshbon is like this. It's impossible that Shnai Mikra should be more chomer than Kriyas HaTorah. That can't be. That I'm clear about. Now, what's the halacha about Kriyas HaTorah? According to the Shulchan Aruch, I think it's in Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch says, let's say we got up to the end of Parshas Noach. Okay, Vayomos Tarach B'choron. And all of a sudden we realize that the Baal Kriya, well, he's Eila Tolus Noach Noach Ish Tzadi Tomim Hoya B'dorei Sobos Elokim B'salach Noach. And he skipped the next pasuk. Vayelad Noach Shlosh Shabonim Hashem. He skipped it. Went to the third pasuk. Now we got up to Vayomos Tarach B'choron. And we realized we skipped the second part. We were all asleep. And we skipped the second part pasuk in the Parsha. Boom. What do we do now? So the Shulchan Aruch says you go back and read that pasuk, and then you can come back and continue over here wherever you are. Fine. So the Chofetz Chaim, I think it's Siman Kuf Mem Gimel in the Shaar Tzion, writes that normally you shouldn't do such a thing because it makes a huge bilbul in the tzibur. It mixes everybody up. You jump from here to there. People don't chap what's going on. So you should go straight. So Aniyah Kotten Herschel Welch came along and made up a Medvorim Amurim, Beis Dalet Aleph. That it depends. If it's a short distance back, then go back to where you made the mistake and read straight. But the Chofetz Chaim didn't mean to make a huge Tircha de Tzibura out of it. Now we're up to Vayomos Terach B'choron, 153 Psukim into the Parsha. We're going to go back to the second Pasuk and start again and read straight from there. That the Chofetz Chaim didn't mean. So the Cheshbon is that without Tircha de Tzibura, you can certainly jump around into Kriyas HaTorah. So, you know, to prevent Tircha de Tzibura, and that's the Etzem Sak. The Chofetz Chaim only said, oh, it's Bilbul, you shouldn't do it. I didn't disagree with the Din of the Shulchan Aruch. So, if you fall behind, run up to where you're at and read from there and on, and then in between the Elias or at the end of the Kriya, you go over to fill in the few psukim that you missed.
You have to read, otherwise, you really should read Mila.
You should be reading Mila Bamila, yes, with the you know. Sometimes you get slightly out of sync, you go drop faster, but basically you have to go Mila Bamila with them, pretty much. Okay, any other further questions? Yeah.
Is there value in, say, you're not doing the whole year?
Oh, Bob, one second. And let me just make one further point. The mitzvah shna kach kibalti, the mitzvah shna mikro vechatakim, is one must articulate the words. It's not enough just to read them as reading, but the words have to be verbalized. Yeah.
If you're not going to do the whole year, what's the value in doing one parsha?
One parsha, you did that parsha. Each week is a mitzvah. Yeah, certainly the ones that say that this mana ends with every Shabbos, it's clear that each week is a mitzvah.
Behind, I should just skip to where he is and then make up the middle.
Yes.
Kriyas HaTorah, you know that is a special injury makbid. You know, you're not allowed to read any words while pat.
Then yeah.
Read that makbid when we read out of Chumash. In other words, if you know the part, you shuffle the fit a little bit. Sometimes you.
It's a whole question about this. This is an endless Torah. Rabbi Gveiger quotes Rabbi Avram and Ahor, and I found other Rishonim that say it also. And Simon Mem Tess, I think, or Simon Nun, you think Mem Tess. The Rabbi Avram and Ahor says that this Inyan is only when it's Lahoitzi Acherim. For yourself, it's not Nogeya. So certainly one could, you know, the world, we're pretty liberal when it comes to this halacha. We're not too hung up about it. And that may be one of the reasons. I should point out, just in what you've asked, what do we have? All of these stops that we have in the middle of Marav. What do we stop? Amru Chulam we stop, and then we stop before Hashem Yimloch. What are all of these stops in the middle of a bracha? Why don't we just go from the Vamunah until Gal Yisro? So the Cheshbon is, according to Kfalas from Rabbi Kveiger, that the Shliach Tzibur used to be Moitzi, everyone with the brachas. They didn't make the brachas. The Bishwan Esrei, everyone davened, but the Birchas Kriyashma, I said out loud, and we said Amen at the end. But he davened Bal Peh. They didn't have a Siddur. So the Psukim, he wasn't supposed to say Bal Peh. So the psukim, he stopped, and everybody said the psukim, and then he continued. So he wasn't moitzi acherim with the psukim. So that's the reason, and Shva probably everyone said for themselves, as it were. So that's the reason that we have the stops in Marav, where we have them, is to allow the Tzibur to say the Pasuk together with the Shneich Tzibur. It shouldn't be Moitzir and Balpeh.
Ourselves
were not so mocked, but and I said the Rabbi Kivager certainly, and I saw, I forget who else I saw. I saw another Rishon also that said the same, that it's only Lahaitzi, the same as Rabbi Kivager quotes when they're in Avram and Ahar. I saw him in one of the other Rishonim. Okay, Rabbi Isai, take to the mitzvah, the year's beginning.